Welcome to Diplomatic Dispatch, a podcast by Radio Canada International.
We did not take action to start a war. I have a simple message for you. On behalf of 35 million Canadians, we're back.
Hello, I'm Levon Savounts, and this is episode 9 of Diplomatic Dispatch. On December 11, 1997, Canada signed the historic Kyoto Protocol.
For the past 11 days, it's been a numbers game played out halfway around the world. But tonight, Canada is committed to a very real deal, an internationally binding pact on the environment. In the Kyoto Protocol on climate change, Canada has agreed to reduce greenhouse gas emission from 1990 levels by 6% at the latest by the year 2012.
19 years later, with Canada's carbon emissions still rising, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau put his signature under another pledge to cut greenhouse gases.
World leaders have signed an agreement that makes the Paris Climate Change Treaty official. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was among the dignitaries at the United Nations for today's ceremony. Though some of our own officials say Canada is on track to miss its modest greenhouse gas reduction goals, Trudeau insisted Canada will invest heavily and rise to the challenge.
Today, with my signature, I give you our word that Canada's efforts will not cease.
Fighting climate change was also the defining issue in the October 2019 federal election.
And just this morning, we committed to exceeding this target and to joining countries around the world in reaching net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. That means not putting any more carbon emissions into the air than we take out. It's an ambitious target, but it's doable.
This is a crisis of epic proportion, and in the face of this crisis, we see Mr. Trudeau, who continues to just say pretty words, empty promises, but no action.
What one thing we've seen with Justin Trudeau over the last few days is he's a master at improv, coming up with things on the fly, no details, making these types of statements in a desperate attempt to distract from his scandal and corruption.
The Liberals got the plurality of seats in the House of Commons and went on to form a minority government. But their climate plan is taking fire from all sides. In energy-rich Western Canada, many voters are furious with the Liberal plan. They see it as harmful to Canada's oil and gas industry. In other parts of the country, people say the Liberal plan doesn't go far enough. But the Liberal Climate Action Plan faces not only domestic challenges, it's also increasingly a foreign policy issue for Ottawa. Discussions about Canada's role in tackling the climate emergency were high on the agenda of the Summit on Canada's Global Leadership that took place in Ottawa at the end of November of 2019. The two-day summit began days after the Liberals unveiled their new government, including a new foreign affairs minister and a new environment minister. Hundreds of foreign policy and international development experts, human rights and environmental activists gathered there to debate the future of Canada's foreign policy.
There are moments in our history when we have to step back and reflect on the changes taking place around us and ask whether the strategy and approach that we're pursuing, the principles and priorities and methods of our policy are still the right ones. This is one of those moments.
My name is Dominique Souris.
Dominique is the co-founder and executive director of the Youth Climate Lab, a global nonprofit organization based in Canada that works to accelerate youth climate-led policy projects and businesses. Dominique is also a World Economic Forum global shaper and a board member for the Foundation of Environmental Stewardship.
I'm really excited to be here at this conference, really talking about what is the leadership that Canada needs to play to tackle the global issues that are facing us, namely climate change.
This conference looks at Canadian foreign policy. How do you see Canadian foreign policy being shaped in the context of climate change emergency that we find ourselves in?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, foreign policy is climate policy. We're talking about a global climate problem, a global climate emergency. And so I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of really positive rhetoric. In 2015, Minister McKenna announced to a room full of ministers before the COP that said, yeah, Canada is back. And that worked for Canada for a number of years. You know, people were very excited to see Canada play a very strong role in both the UN climate negotiations, but also how that has echoed in other international positions and initiatives that Canada supports and leads.
If Canada actually shows that it's serious, that it's back, that we understand that the science behind climate change is real, that we need to be taking action, that we need to be, you know, looking at what measures we can take to reduce emissions, I think that will send an extraordinarily strong signal. Yes, I mean, you can say, if only we had been around, you know, earlier, if only there had been a will by the Canadian government earlier, but I think we're, I mean, in some ways it's good. We're here at a critical time.
But now we're at a point where, okay, we need to practice what we're preaching. We need to walk the talk in a way that is more ambitious and more reflective of the crisis that we're facing. Next year is the year where all countries need to be revising their nationally determined contributions. So what they are doing to combat climate change. And the ambition that we're seeing is not enough. And Canada's targets are not enough.
The Liberals announced today what they plan to do to fight climate change should they get re-elected. Leader Justin Trudeau says he would commit Canada to net zero emissions by 2050, as you heard that. To do that, though, he says that his government, if re-elected, would set legally binding five-year milestones. The Liberals are also promising to now exceed Canada's 2030 emissions goals.
And so how can we get to net zero by 2050? How can we get to the big promises we're making at the international stage concretely happen?
How do you see, as a young person, as a young activist, how do you see Canada's foreign policy in general developing over the next 5-10 years?
I mean, when we talk about 5-10 years, we're talking about the last 5-10 years to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals, right? This is a roadmap that all countries have agreed on. This is a roadmap for solutions that we know we need and a goals that we need to reach. And so when I, as a young person, see Canadian foreign policy, I think that we're doing a lot of the right things, or rather we're saying a lot of the right things, and we're participating in a lot of different initiatives and convenings that are saying the right things. Yes, we have a feminist international assistance policy.
The federal government is taking a new approach, it says, to distributing foreign aid. Today, it announced Canada's first feminist international assistance policy. $150 million over 5 years will be committed to organizations that promote women's rights in developing countries. By 2022, at least 80% of Canada's foreign aid will go towards the advancement of gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls.
Yes, that is really novel for a lot of countries around the world. But now what? You know, where we've set the foundations of progressive action on the international stage. And I think that in the next 5-10 years is how we're going to double down on that ambition, how we're going to double down with actual funding, with actual resources, and more support than just fancy words.
How hopeful are you that your voice, that your perspectives will be heard by policymakers and will be included in actual policy?
I mean, one of the reasons why Youth Climate Lab exists is to create projects that help test out different ways of bringing people together so that youth voices can resonate more meaningfully. I think that, you know, politicians are hearing young people. They're quoting Greta Thunberg in their speeches. They're referring to the climate strikers, you know, in their streets. But how are they actually listening? How is that impacting policies? I think that we're seeing, an increasing shift in attention, but we're still lacking that meaningful engagement and that co-creation of the policies that will impact young people and future generations. And so I think that's where I would like to see it going, is how can we move beyond recognizing, oh, wow, yeah, youth do have a role to play, or wow, thank you for striking every Friday, to how can we create policies that work for everyone and really recognizing the intergenerational injustice that climate change is posing on youth and future generations.
This conference has gathered a lot of different perspectives. When you're looking at what's being discussed here, What are some of the questions that are not being asked and you would like to ask?
One thing that I really resonate when I look at the vision statement of the summit is, you know, Canada should do abroad or should do at home as it does abroad. And for me, a question that I think is lacking is really the role and the unique positions of Indigenous peoples in Canada and the different types of knowledge that they bring and why that's critical to global issues. You know, we're talking about 8% of lands are in the safeguardship of Indigenous peoples. And so they're integral to the solutions that we need to be creating and supporting. I've just come back from Inuvik, Northwest Territories, and we were so fortunate to work with the Gwich'in Tribal Council and Bantu Gwich'in First Nation and be privileged to be with an elder, Sarah Jerome, who said, yeah, traditional knowledge is climate mitigation. And so what I would think is missing or what I would like to see more, and it might have been in other panels, I wasn't there, is really around, you know, what is the unique role of Indigenous peoples and how we can ensure that all the decisions really are not leaving them or no one else behind.
That was Dominique Souris, and you've been listening to Episode 9 of Diplomatic Dispatch.
Thank you for listening to Diplomatic Dispatch. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to us by email. Our email address is english@rcinet.ca. And if you speak French, Spanish, Arabic, or Mandarin, make sure to check out our other podcasts on rcinet.ca. You can also download them on Apple, Google, or Android podcasts, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And you can also sign up for our cyber magazine to receive a daily selection of stories from RCI and Eye on the Arctic. That's our circumpolar news collaboration project with public and private media outlets from around the Arctic region.